You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
If you would, please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter number 5, and once you've found your place, if you're able to, would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word? Lamentations chapter 5 this morning. And if you're trying to find it, it is before the book of Ezekiel, after the book of Jeremiah, tucked away in there. The book of Lamentations chapter 5. And I'm going to ask that you follow along with me. I'm going to read verse 1 through 22. I know that sounds like a lot, but I will do my best to read quickly. Lamentations chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged by their hand. Faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased, and our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, for this is our heart is faint. For these things have our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Amen. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned, renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us." And let's pray together this morning. God, we thank you so much for the power and for the truth of your word. God, I'm thankful that we can listen to it. We can hear it, Lord, and it pierces our heart. And Lord, it speaks to us. And God, I pray that your word would speak to us right now, that your Holy Spirit would have liberty to move in our midst. Lord, help us to have ears to listen, a heart to receive your word. We ask that you would give our pastor power from on high and anoint him, please, dear God, and use him as he preaches your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated.
You may be seated today, and as you're seated, I know Brother Fenner just prayed, but I want to pray one more time. I see Linda Pence here today. Linda's husband was laid to rest this week, and I thank God for you, Linda. You're a faithful lady, and her son, our missionary to Bolivia, is here with her, and I thank God for both of you and, of course, both your sons. But I want you to pray for Linda, and then Dean is here. Cassie and Casey and Stevie are sisters, and they're sitting by their dad. His wife was just diagnosed this week with cancer. She's got about a month left to live. I want you to pray for her. She came to know Christ as Savior this week, and her son-in-law led her to Christ. And Dean, I love you. I thank God for you. And I know there are many that have needs. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And with our heads bowed, I wonder how many here today say, "Brother Treiber, I'm here with a great, great need in my heart. Please pray that God would meet that need." Would you slip your hand up all over the house? "I have a great need. I have a great need. Only God can meet it." You may put them down. Father, there are so many hands that have been raised today. And I thank you for your people. I thank you for Linda, her testimony of love for Dennis. And now he's in your presence. I pray you comfort her heart today. Thank you for her family. I thank you so much for Dean. Lord, he's such a blessing. And I pray for Brother Miller that he would have your guidance and your strength and his two sweet girls. Thank you for them. Bless our time together, and your word is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes, I don't feel like I'm assigned my subject to have to preach on whatever day it is, Easter or Mother's Day or any other day. But Mother's Day, I generally try to stay with mothers. But every one of them, though I speak about mothers today, eventually I get there. Everyone needs to be dedicated to love mother. Amen. You need to help your wife. You need to help your mother. You need to love your mother. Many of us in this room, you took a white flower. Our mothers are gone. I lost my mother's prayers when my mother passed away. I lost my dad's prayers when my dad passed away. I lost their influence, but they still, every day I think about them. Today we have an illustration of a nation. It's the book of Lamentations, where Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he wrote Jeremiah, then he wrote Lamentations. He was just heartbroken over his nation. I'm heartbroken over America today. I know it's the greatest country in all the world, but I'm just so burdened for her. It seems like we're split right down the middle. This next election can go any way. We're told that college graduates and young adults, 55% believe that socialism is the answer for America. Socialism is that you don't own land. Socialism is that you don't work, but rich people work to pray for the poor people. That's not Bible. If a man will not work, he should not eat. That's the Bible. This business of giving over 50% of our income to taxes, that's highway robbery. That's wrong. That's a government abusing our funds. And we're seeing all the abuse here in California, billions of dollars in Minnesota and throughout the United States, the billions of dollars that have been fraud and stealing from the American people. And that's where this great prophet was so burdened about his country. You're going to find with me today a long introduction, but God's word speaks about our reproach, and our reproach is very obvious. Look at verse 1. Remember, Lord, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. What was the result of the reproach? When God said, I'm against your nation. Stay with me for a long introduction, a short message. But I want you to see with me the reproach is they lost their inheritance. They lost their inheritance to strangers. Look at verse 2. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. That's what God's word says. When a nation forgets God, you are going to work to give your properties, your possessions over to strangers. You're going to lose all your inheritance. Not only did they lose their inheritance to strangers, they lost their dads to sin. Look what the Bible says regarding their dads. Verse 7, our fathers have sinned and are not, we have borne their iniquities. We pass our generational sins down to our children. That's why today I told my class today, 75% of men in prison are from fatherless homes. Hey, dads, you got to wake up. You're going to have to step to the plate and be a man and be a father to your children. You say, well, they won't talk to me. Well, work to get them to talk to you. Send them money. Send them cards. I've had people in this church, they have sent for years money to their kids. And just recently, in the last 2 months, we have had some families had some breakthroughs, and their family is now uniting, and their family is now back to unity. Dad was wrong. Dad will admit he was wrong to his children. He abandoned his children. He left his children. But thank God he's worked to get back a relationship. The Bible says our reproach was indicated in our inheritance we lost to strangers. Our fathers we lost to sin. Our women we lost to sinful abuse. Verse 11. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the city of Judah. This is the young ladies. This is the ladies that were not yet married, and the ladies that were young women, they were all abused. These foreign people came in and nations came in and they abused their children. You know, when a nation has reproach, we lose our purity. We have more babies that have been aborted annually than those that are being born. We're the number one abortion capital in the world. And if you are here, many ladies are here, and you've aborted a baby, you can still be saved. And if you're saved, you can still love God. And you know you live with that remorse. But the truth is a matter, that's a reproach on any nation. God's word says it. Look what else he says. Not only did they lose their inheritance, they lost their dads to sin. They lost their inheritance to strangers, their women to the sinful abuse. They lost their elders because of stony hearts. Look what it says in verse 14. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from music. They said all of this is gone because our elders, our presidents, our vice president, our Congress, our cabinet members, our Supreme Court, our mayors, our judges, they're all sinful. God says a result of that, their stony heart, you're going to reap it. They lost their song. Verse 15, the joy of their heart has ceased. They lost everything, the crown from our head and woe, all that we have sinned. Our heart, verse number 17, is faint. Here is a nation, all of these things are negative. Every single item I've read to you is negative. All six are all negative. But in this text, there's one positive. It's about mama. Yeah. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Verse 3. We are orphans. That's not helpful. And fatherless. That's not helpful. But here it is. Our mothers are widows. Our mothers are widows, but that doesn't talk anything about sin. That just talks about the condition where those mothers find themselves. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist. He shook two continents for Christ. Europe and America were shook with the Second Great Awakening, and in addition with the awakening in Europe. He died in 1899. His mother passed away when his dad was 41, his dad passed away when he was 41. His mother had six children and were expecting twins when he died. She had eight children to raise. But she never, ever, ever, please don't miss this. She's now a widow. And as a widow, she never complained once of her lot in life. Dear lady, you don't have a right to complain. You don't have a right to gripe. You know, as you get older, everything falls apart. Your knees fall apart. Your ankles fall apart. Your hips fall apart. Your whole body falls apart. What's supposed to by age 70? But we don't need an organ recital every time we see you, Grandma. My kidneys, that's all part of the organ, you know, my kidneys and my liver and my heart and all these things. These ladies were widows. That's where it stopped. No complaint. There was a lady, her name was Susanna Wesley, and you know her story. And Susanna Wesley had an amazing story. She was married to a preacher. He was kind of an odd guy. She had 19 children. Four died in infancy, four died before she died, so she raised eight kids. Her husband was a weird preacher. He did crazy things. Her husband still kept preaching, but he left her for 1 year. Just left his wife with eight kids. Susanna Wesley never wrote one negative word about him leaving. He was arrested twice for money problems. He would rip people off. He was a preacher, and he ripped people off, and he stole, and all these things. And yet she never, ever, history bears it, but she never bore it. She never let her children talk about discouraging their dad. She always talked with grace in her heart. Listen to what she said. She said, no child in our home is going to be given anything because he cried for it. I was in a store this past week picking up something. And there was this little sweet little couple, and they had their three little children, and one was about maybe two. That little two-year-old ran the house. And that little two-year-old ran it this way all over the store. Ah! I mean, that kid kept it up. Ah! Ah! It drove me crazy. Ah! Just kept screaming. She never allowed a child to cry for something that they wanted. She said, you can cry, but you must cry softly. There's no eating or drinking between meals, except when sick. Sleeping is regulated. Children were given, small children, 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon. And no sleeping was ever, as they grew older, was allowed in the daytime. Little children, number four, were rocked and cradled to sleep at 7 p.m. And she spent an hour with each one as she tried to rock them to sleep. Each one must eat and drink everything that's before him. I'm hearing today, by the way, parents, your children need vegetables. Amen. Your children need vegetables. Amen. And if I had to eat beets, your kids have to eat beets. Yep. Beets are terrible, amen? You know, I grew up in the 50s, and it was always about every 10 days you had to have beets and liver. Remember liver, Colonel? Yeah, liver, anybody here like liver? All the old people like liver. I'm old too. I hate liver. I hate it. Oh my goodness gracious, I can't believe the hands I just saw. All were 70 and above. The rest of you, we like McDonald's. I know that's what we like. You know, she said, my kids don't like, I hear this. I teach a young couple's guys, my kids don't like vegetables. Well, make them eat them anyway. Let's try that one more time. They don't like it, make them eat them anyway. You see, you're not going to believe this. You're the parent. You're the one that leads that child. She went on to say, and I'll just read you one more. She never allowed, watch this. She never allowed herself to show her ill temper or sorrows of life by scolding. She never allowed that. She said, I'm not going to dump my problems on my children. We are living in a generation where children are called upon to carry man-sized burdens. Yep. Here are these widows, no negative discussion about these widows. They were just widows. You can be, the goal, I thought of this so many times this week. The goal is not to be a mother, the goal is to be a grandmother. That's true. Now raise your children for God. But grandmothers, where do we get this idea that, okay, I've taught Sunday school for 40 years, I'm done. No, you finally have something to say. That's what Titus chapter 2, an old lady ought to be teaching the Bible to the next generation. One of the great joys in this church, we have the prime timers, we call you, the retired people in our church. And we go on excursions, we have activities, we have you do things. But one of the great things about this church is the old people don't think they're old. No, I'm not asking to act like, hey, baby, how you doing, man? I'm doing cool. Are you doing cool? Yeah, everything's cool, baby. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Our folks don't act that way. They may be on a cane. They may be on a walker. They may be in a wheelchair. But they have such a positive spirit. They're always in Sunday school. They're always Sunday night. They're always Wednesday. They want to be here. Hey, I want to tell you something. Nothing wrong with getting old. And these ladies, they still had a task. They had to pass down to their children's children righteousness. R.A. Torrey, the great, great preacher from yesterday, he wrote this. He says, my mother was a poor widow all of our lives. And my mother had no ability to make money. She sold chickens. She sold eggs. She took in laundry. She ironed for people. But mother was always poor. She just had one little old little dress that she made. That's all she had. Ori Torrey, by the way, became the great pastor of the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. And Ori Torrey started right over here off of Highway 17, 880, Mount Hermon Christian Conference Center in 1902. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Ori Torrey was a brilliant mind. And that mother worked all of her life, and she saved her pennies, and he was able to go off to college because he gained a scholarship, but she serviced her son. She had nothing in life, just poor as Job's turkey. He said, "Mother, I'm graduating, and I'm graduating with honors, and I would be privileged to have you if you'd let me walk you down the middle aisle and sit you where all the rich people sit." She said, "No, son. In fact, I'm not going to your graduation. I love you too much." He goes, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "I would have to embarrass you. I only have this one dress, and it's worn out." She goes, "I have nothing, son, but I'm so proud of you. I'm so very proud of what you've done with your life." He said, "Mother, if you don't come, I'm not going to walk down that aisle and graduate. I refuse to." He talked her into it. He brought her down and sat her amongst all the rich people. And he said, I would not be here today if it wasn't for this lady." He earned his diploma and then brought it from the platform down. Every eye is on him. He's the smartest in the class. And he gave it to his mother and said, "Mother, this is for you. This diploma, you earned it. You know, grandmas, you may not have fancy clothes. You may not have fancy things in life. You might be all alone. Your husband may have passed away. Perhaps your wife goes first, and grandpa, you are still so very, very important to your family. Guide your family, give direction to your family. But may I say this, that these people have learned not to share their sorrows with their family. I recall when my dad in 1959, we lost our business. And my dad, those first half of my life, we did so well in life. And we had things and we had possessions. And then we lost it all. We lost our house and we lost everything. And we were living in two bedrooms, not two rooms, two bedrooms. That's all we had. And we rented two bedrooms in the upper floor of a house. I never knew we were poor. My mom and dad never acted like we were poor. My dad would take out his little blue Bank of America checkbook every Saturday night and write his tithe. Then he'd always have prayer with us. We couldn't sing loud anymore. There are other people renting other rooms. We had no kitchen. I can remember going down to the corner store and in the little house and buying milk and putting it out of the ledge at night to stay cool all night long. And the next morning we walked directly across the street, kitty corner, and had breakfast in that park. Mother would make us sandwiches. We'd take them to school. Then we'd go to Oak Park and we'd have the evening meal. And my dad would always barbecue every single night. I watched my mother and dad suffer. I watched my dad have, my dad was a salesman and was a good salesman. But I watched him for 10 years, never had a new suit. Always the same old suits. They were threadbare, but he kept them clean. His shoes, one day I saw, and he had stuffed cardboard in the bottom because the soles were gone. And he put new soles in there with cardboard. I watched that. But my mom and dad never complained. They never made their problem our problem. Hey, widows, don't take your problem. Don't have your kids come to your house and say, "I want to talk to you, little Sally, about my heart condition, about my high blood pressure. I don't want to talk to you about it." There's no time for all that. You're running out of time, Grandma. You, Grandma, you've got to talk to your kids about living for God a lifetime. Seeking the kingdom of God, seeking the word of God, seeking the things of God. You are running out of time, widows. You say, "Well, I'm not a widow." Let me tell you something about life. You know that little baby that you checked in the nursery this morning, she's 2 years of age? In 20 years, they're going to be married. In 22, 23, 24 years, you're going to be a grandma. And that 24 years is going to go like a heartbeat. It goes so fast. Here the Bible says that they have widows. And these widows never told their problems to their children. There's no indication. They said, we have widows. Those widows loved. They loved their family. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across Wales when a heavy snowstorm came up, a blinding blizzard. She was carrying her baby. She realized, I'm not going to make it to my destination. When they found mother frozen to death, they turned her over, and to their surprise, mother had taken off her coat and wrapped her baby in her coat. Mother had taken off her dress and wrapped her baby in her dress. She took off all that she could, was there short-sleeved in that blizzard, freezing to death. She huddled herself over her little baby. And when they rolled her over, they found a live baby. Mothers, that's what life is about. Give your life to your children. Throw your life into their lives. Let them realize that they don't have to be reproached. Let them believe in themselves. A lot of you grandparents are raising your kids, and I commend you for that. I don't know all the circumstances, but God bless you. And love those kids, and don't let them get irritated to you. Have some minimum rules for them. Lay down those rules and say, here's the rules of our house. Here's what we're going to do. But absolutely don't share with them your problems. I go back to my dad. I never knew we were poor. We were living in a former lawyer's house. And they finally said, Marge Matthews, she died in a car wreck in Stockton. She said, Gubby, my dad's name, Gottlieb, Gubby, where are you eating lunch about 2 months later? Well, we eat in the parks. She said, well, I've got a kitchen here. And I've got a dining room. And she let us eat in her dining room. In that dining room where the father would sit under the table, there was a buzzer. You'd put your buzzer on it, and the maid would come. Now, we didn't have a maid, but that's the kind of home it was. I watched my dad and mom just love God. I was in college before I realized they paid the last payment. Two shysters went into business with my dad. They ran away and left the bills, and my dad said, I'm not going to leave those bills. I'm going to pay those bills. And for the next 10 years of his life, he paid the bills off to every creditor. Never declared bankruptcy. Never told us he was poor. But somehow, we always had what we needed. You remember the days, and maybe I'm dating myself, but I remember the days of Christmas, don't you? Kids now, they get all these presents, and I'm all for it. Let's keep buying. That's what grandparents do. But my parents always got us something small, a T-shirt or a sweater or a shirt. Then they got us something big. My big present 1 year was a coat. And I remember those two gifts. I thought, my parents are spending so much money on me. How in the world can they afford this? I don't know how they afford it, but they nevertheless, my message is, don't let your kids know about all the sorrows. You know why our hair grows gray, most of us? Through sorrows of life. You're going to have sorrows of life. There's no such thing. You'll have sorrows with your children, perhaps. You'll have sorrows with your mate. But may I say, a year ago today, I wasn't here for Mother's Day. I was in the hospital. My wife was in the hospital for major cancer surgery right now at this very minute. Brother and Mrs. Van Dyke and Tabitha, our daughter, came. She was still in surgery after church. I believe you preached that day, Brother Fanera. And we had waited on God. But my wife has been so determined to get well again. She's not telling her kids all about her woes. That's not our job. Our job is to take the problems and opportunities of our kids' lives and show them that God is their answer.
Amen.
All these negative things, lost their inheritance, lost their dads, lost their mothers, lost the young girls, lost everything, lost a song, but they didn't lose the widows. Father, I thank you for this day, this privilege to speak your word. And I pray, God, this morning that you do a mighty work in this invitation. Save mothers today. Save fathers today. Save teenagers. Lord, I pray for all the service being conducted this hour. May your touch be on every invitation.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.